Sorry, we've got to make some technical adjustments. Maybe. Yeah, maybe not. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to be Mary and Joseph? I mean, literally. Think of the conversations the two of them must have had after they each were visited by the angel of God. Think about it. I mean, most of you are married, and the conversations that you talk about life and the things that have happened and the occurrences. Well, this morning this is a dialogue between Mary and Joseph as they travel to Bethlehem on the eve of the birth of their son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I don't know if we're going to get back feed here. You may just have to shut off all the other mics or something. I'm not sure what's going on, but do what you need to do, I guess. Pray for us. Karen has no voice because she's been down with a sinus thing all week, so we appreciate her willingness to do this. I'll sit back and listen, will you please? Whew. I'm bushed. My legs are mushed from walking through these rough paths. We've come a long way today, Mary. If I'm this tired, I can't imagine what you feel like. How are you?
Joseph, I don't have any feeling in my legs. Sitting on this donkey is hard enough when you're not pregnant, much less when you're in my condition. I can't wait to get to Bethlehem and be done with traveling. And wow, does my back hurt.
Well, let's stop here for tonight and I'll build a fire and we can get a little rest. Tomorrow we should make it to Bethlehem, but it's going to be a big day of traveling. Probably almost dark when we get there. I just hope they have a room.
We'll make it. Hopefully the donkey will hold up. He's carrying two of us, you know.
Mary, can I tell you something?
Sure, Joseph. What?
I never, ever thought I would go back.
Go back where?
Go back to Bethlehem, where I was born. It was nothing but a little hole in the wall with a handful of people, and as far as I know, it's still the same, maybe even less now. I mean, why would anybody ever want to live there? I can't figure it out. I couldn't get out of there fast enough when I left.
What was it like living there?
You know, the older I get, I realize it wasn't quite so bad after all. My parents were so very proud to live in Bethlehem. My dad talked about it to everybody he ever met. He thought the whole world would someday know about that sleepy little village called Bethlehem.
Why did he think that?
You know, my folks were so faithfully devoted. They were worshipers of God. They held the Hebrew scriptures as sacred, and whenever those scriptures were read, my dad, he would just sometimes weep. I could never figure out if it was weeping for joy sometimes or sorrow. He loved Israel so much, and when those Old Testament prophetic writings were read about Israel departing from God and going her own way, I could just see the anguish in his face.
Joseph, why was he so anguished?
Well, later on, my dad would tell me that God had departed from Israel, and we as a people and as a nation would suffer great judgment without God leading and guiding our lives. Without some miraculous intervention from heaven, we'd be doomed to suffer forever and ever. My father really believed that the Old Testament prophets, what they said and what they prophesied.
You've never told me these things before. I'm really amazed.
Well, you know, I never really thought about it much until that night.
What night?
The night the angel of the Lord visited me and told me that I was to take you as my wife and marry you, because yes, you were pregnant, but it was not from another man, but from the Holy Spirit of God. Mary, honestly, I don't know. I was more excited about the fact that you, the love of my life, were indeed faithful to me, or that I was about to have a son.
I can't imagine what you must have been feeling when you found out I was pregnant. But then, to have God visit you and tell you the real truth, isn't that just amazing?
Mm.
Who would ever dream up something like that?
I know. And then on top of it, to be told what to name the boy, you're to call his name Jesus, and to be told why? Because he will save his people from their sins. I thought that night, what is that all about? But you know what? I just knew that I had to obey and do what I was told. So, honey, here we are. Hey, Mary, can I ask? What was it like for you?
What was what like?
You know, that day. The day that you were visited by the angel of the Lord and told that you would give birth to the Son of God. What was it like for you?
Oh. Well, shock, numb, something inside of me so excited beyond description. I mean, how do you describe a moment that was so holy that you've never experienced before?
I know what you mean.
I just can't let go of the words that the angel of the Lord said to me that day. Joseph, listen, I can remember the words exactly. They are burned into my heart. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Isn't that amazing, Joseph? Just like you were told. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end.
Wow. I just shudder listening to it again.
You know what? I still don't understand it all. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Do you know what else the angel said?
What?
The angel said, this is all going to come true because nothing is impossible with God. Joseph, I'm about to give birth to the Son of God. How do you announce that one?
Oh, Mary, I'm sure God will figure out a way.
Hey, Joseph.
What?
Did you have a hard time believing it all? I mean, the angel, the announcement, a baby to be born, and even gave him a name. Jesus, and the meaning of the name, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of the Most High. He will save his people from their sins. Did you have a hard time believing?
Honestly, at first, I did. But remember that day I came home to tell you that we needed to go to Bethlehem to register at my birthplace? Mary, suddenly it all clicked.
What clicked?
I remembered what my dad said, used to say about Bethlehem. Someday the whole world's going to know about Bethlehem. And it just clicked. Growing up, I would work alongside of him. We'd go out behind the house in the field for where we grew our vegetables and things. And he'd often be quoting Micah the prophet. But ye, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days. Mary, remember what the angel said?
I do. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end.
That's what Micah was talking about. This baby's the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the men of old. Mary, according to what we've been told about this, who this is, from ancient of days, who will sit on David's throne and rule forever, a kingdom that will never end, this baby that you are carrying, Mary, is the Messiah.
Are you sure?
Well, think about what we were told about his name. You're to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Mary, there's only one who could do anything about anything like that, and that's the Messiah, the Savior that Micah and Isaiah all prophesied about. I remember another prophecy my dad used to love. You're to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The Lord will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel.
Joseph, are you saying I...
Yes, Mary. You're that virgin who's going to bear God's son, Emmanuel. He's going to be the answer to all my father's anguish about Israel's hopelessness. He'll save his people from their sins. Mary, the promise from God is for all people who will believe and receive it.
For us personally? You and me?
Yes, for you and for me. I remember what you told me about how you responded to the angel that day. Remember? After the angel had informed you about Elizabeth also being pregnant and that nothing would be impossible with God, remember how you responded?
Yes, I can't forget it. I said to the angel of the Lord, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word."
Mary, that's the kind of response that God is looking for from each one of us. It's a faith response. God, let it be done in my life according to your word.
Joseph, we need to get to sleep, some sleep. Bethlehem, tomorrow, remember?
In just a few hours, Bethlehem would indeed become known throughout the entire world as the birthplace of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. The baby laid in a manger, God's Son born of a virgin, would grow up to indeed become the Savior of the world. He would go to the cross to lead everyone who is willing to pick up their cross and follow him to an eternal new relationship with the Heavenly God. You know, the miracle of Christmas is that God moved towards us. He opened the veil of heaven. He came down here to us. As one of us. That's the miracle, that even though we're sinners, Jesus Christ came to us. Think about that.
Amen.
But you know what? He didn't come here just to live. He came here to die on our behalf. Why did he come? And why did he die? Because God wants us in his life. He wants you. And he wants me. He doesn't need us. He does not need me. And he does not need you. But the miracle of Christmas is that he came because he wants us. He loves us that much. Think about that. His coming here to earth, his being born in a little sleepy, hollow village called Bethlehem in the most despicable of circumstances, a cave barn amongst the animals of all things. The God of the universe came to live, to die in our place, and to rise again in victory for us. It all proves one thing. He wants us. He wants us. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as we close this morning. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And you might ask, and we should, why? Why? And Paul answers it. Therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's why. Your knee will bow and my knee will bow. Every knee will bow in heaven and on earth before the precious, most glorious, magnificent, righteous, holy Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. The question for you this morning is, do you realize how much you and I need him for eternal life? Life now, today, right now. I need the peace of joy that he brings into my life. I need the calmness that he brings in the midst of this world's storms. But I also need that eternal peace that I know that I know that I know that when this life is finished, when it's all done, my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life, eternal life, I will be with him forever and ever. And my knee, as all of yours, will bow before him to give all glory and honor and praise to him. Friend, he wants us. He wants you. Does he have you? Have you surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Savior? I bring you good news of great joy, for today in the city of David has been born to you a Savior. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us.